I am so happy to welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us here as a participant in this spiritual oasis of inspiration. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's continue in song with hymn number 148.
Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Red skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path in life is free. My Father has my treasure.
And again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Walking in the Harmony of God. The other hymns we're going to be singing this morning are hymn number 139 and 460 from the hymnal supplement. This morning I'll be reading from the King James Version of our Holy Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And from the Holy Scriptures, Psalms. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Proverbs, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Daniel. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the fourth is like the Son of God. Isaiah, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Hebrews. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Isaiah. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And from Science and Health, mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law, the law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. The supposed laws which result in weariness and disease are not his laws, for the legitimate and only possible action of truth is the production of harmony. Laws of nature are laws of spirit, but mortals commonly recognize as law that which hides the power of spirit. Divine mind rightly demands man's entire obedience, affection, and strength. No reservation is made for any lesser loyalty. Obedience to truth gives man power and strength. Submission to error superinduces loss of power. Truth casts out all evils and materialistic methods with the actual spiritual law, the law which gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, voice to the dumb, feet to the lame. All that God imparts moves in accord with him, reflecting goodness and power. Exercise this God-given authority. Take possession of your body and govern its feeling and action. Rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. God has made man capable of this, and nothing can vitiate the ability and power divinely bestowed on man. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. Let us suppose two parallel cases of bone disease, both similarly produced and attended by the same symptoms. A surgeon is employed in one case and a Christian Scientist in the other. The surgeon, holding that matter forms its own conditions and renders them fatal at certain points, entertains fears and doubts as to the ultimate outcome of the injury. Not holding the reins of government in his own hands, he believes that something stronger than mind, namely matter, governs the case. His treatment is therefore tentative. This mental state invites defeat. The belief that he has met his master in matter and may not be able to mend the bone increases his fear. Yet this belief should not be communicated to the patient, either verbally or otherwise, for this fear greatly diminishes the tendency towards a favorable result. The Christian Scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. This corrective is an alterative reaching to every part of the human system. According to Scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. The matter physician deals with matter as both his foe and his remedy. He regards the ailment as weakened or strengthened according to the evidence which matter presents. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation, irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case. And he proportionately strengthens his patient with the stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being, according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. Ossification, or any abnormal condition or derangement of the body, is as directly the action of mortal mind as is dementia or insanity. Bones have only the substance of thought which forms them. They are only phenomena of the mind of mortals. The so-called substance of bone is formed first by the parent's mind through self-division. Soon the child becomes a separate, individualized mortal mind which takes possession of itself and its own thoughts of bones. Consciousness constructs a better body when faith and matter has been conquered. Correct material belief by spiritual understanding, and spirit will form you anew. Christian Science brings to the body the sunlight of truth which invigorates and purifies. Christian Science acts as an alterative, neutralizing error with truth. It changes the secretions, expels humors, dissolves tumors, relaxes rigid muscles, restores carious bones to soundness. The effect of this science is to stir the human mind to a change of base on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind. Working out the rules of science and practice, the author has restored health in cases of both acute and chronic disease in their severest forms. Secretions have been changed. The structure has been renewed, shortened limbs have been elongated, ankyloid joints have been made supple, and carious bones have been restored to healthy conditions. We walk in the footsteps of truth and love by following the example of our Master in the understanding of divine metaphysics. Christianity is the basis of true healing. It has been demonstrated to me that life is God and that the might of omnipotent spirit shares not its strength with matter or with human will. Reviewing this brief experience, I cannot fail to discern the coincidence of the spiritual idea of man with the divine mind. A change in human belief changes all the physical symptoms and determines the case for better or for worse. When one's false belief is corrected, truth sends a report of health over the body. Knowing that soul and its attributes were forever manifested to man, the Master healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, feet to the lame, thus bringing to light the scientific action of the divine mind on human minds and bodies, and giving a better understanding of soul and salvation. Christian Science is always the most skillful surgeon, but surgery is the branch of its healing, which will be last acknowledged. However, it is but just to say that the author has already in her possession well-authenticated records of the cure by herself and her students through mental surgery alone. Of broken bones, dislocated joints, and spinal vertebrae. The time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. Man is indestructible and eternal. Sometime it will be learned that mortal mind constructs the mortal body with this mind's own mortal materials. In science, no breakage nor dislocation can really occur. You say that accidents, injuries, and disease kill man, but this is not true. The life of man is mind. The material body manifests only what mortal mind believes, whether it be a broken bone, disease, or sin. We say that one human mind can influence another, and in this way affect the body. But we rarely remember that we govern our own bodies. The understanding that the ego is mind and that there is but one mind or intelligence begins at once to destroy the errors of mortal sense and to supply the truth of immortal sense. This understanding makes the body harmonious. It makes the nerves, bones, brain, etc. servants instead of masters. When you say man's body is material, I say with Paul, be willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Give up your material belief of mind and matter and have but one mind, even God, for this mind forms its own likeness. The scriptures say, they that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The meaning of that passage is not perverted by applying it literally to moments of fatigue, for the moral and physical are as one in their results. When we wake to the truth of being, all disease, pain, weakness, weariness, sorrow, sin, death will be unknown, and the mortal dream will forever cease. My method of treating fatigue applies to all bodily ailments, since mind should be and is supreme, absolute, and final. Mortal mind forms all conditions of the mortal body and controls the stomach, bones, lungs, heart, blood, etc., as directly as the volition or will moves the hand. When we remove disease by addressing the disturbed mind, giving no heed to the body, we prove that thought alone creates the suffering. Mortal mind rules all that is mortal. The action of so-called mortal mind must be destroyed by the divine mind to bring out the harmony of being. Without divine control, there is discord manifest as sin, sickness, and death. Not muscles, nerves, nor bones, but mortal mind makes the whole body sick and the whole heart faint, whereas divine mind heals. When this is understood, we shall never affirm concerning the body what we do not wish to have manifested. We shall not call the body weak if we would have it strong. For the belief in feebleness must obtain in the human mind before it can be made manifest on the body. And the destruction of the belief will be the removal of its effects. Let us feel the divine energy of spirit bringing us into newness of life and recognizing no mortal nor material power as able to destroy. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step towards the joys of spirit, towards human freedom, and the final triumph over the body.
The kingdom and the power.